What is up, Hockey IQ listeners? I'm here to chat about our newest sponsor, Sensarena. Your brain is one of the most important parts of your body. Why not invest in a tool that allows you to train it? With Sensarena, athletes can gain a competitive edge using VR training. Players are able to go through a scenario thousands of times without having to step foot on the ice. No more waiting around for puck touches or perfect scenarios. Sensarena can enhance reaction time, decision-making, and multitasking abilities, making you the next MVP. I mean, if the LA Kings are using it, it's got to be good. With our promo code HockeyIQ, you receive $50 off an annual plan purchase. Head on over to Sensarena.com to check it all out.
On the Hockey IQ podcast today, we bring on Ayo Adeniye. Ayo, gotta say, it was a real pleasure to open your scoring account in Adult League with an assist from myself. You know, you made it easy on me. Great speed differential. Great to have you on.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a sick finish. You know, right above the goalie's pad, short side, little toe drag shot. You know, I wish I had that kind of talent.
Got to do what you got to do sometimes, man. It's a lot of hard work.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to grab you on the podcast because I really paid attention to some of the things you're doing around the adult league. I thought it was really interesting. And then also just talking to some people, it sounds like you've got an interesting story that I'd love to share with the world here. So why don't we start from the beginning? You know, how did you get into hockey in the first place? You know, how did you find this great game?
So it's a pretty cool story, I guess. There's a couple parts to it. But I started playing hockey when I was about 3 and a half. I originally started through, I started through the Blue Jackets, learned to play through the Columbus Ice Hockey Club. But before that, I was at a birthday party when I was around 3, and it was a skating birthday party at the Chillers. And my mom didn't know how to skate, and I was a youngin', so she didn't really let me skate. So instead, she took me over to the other rink, and there was a high school game going on. And that's before Columbus high school hockey got to the level that it is now. So it kind of talks about the rise of it. But it used to be just a gong show. The boys were going around, just running each other right in front of me. I just turned around and looked at my mom. I was like, I want to play hockey. She was like, oh, okay, it'll pass. She didn't think that I actually wanted to play. She put me into Tiny Tots basketball. And I guess that I wouldn't interact with the kids during the basketball games, and I would pretend to skate up and down the basketball court. When she finally asked me what I was doing, I said, I'm just practicing for when you put me in hockey. So my grandma was the one that actually convinced her to let me do it. She was like, he'll throw on the skates, he'll fall a couple of times, and he'll give it up. But here I am at 24. So
that's hilarious. I'm just working on my stride. So when I finally get to play hockey, I'm going to just dominate.
Sure, man.
Yeah. It's not the same stride, you know, it's very noticeable. I'm just visualizing that picture in my brain, and it's just glorious. Just seeing someone going up and down a basketball court, just like side to side.
Just out to lunch by myself. Kind of funny, but yeah.
Hey, you know, I coach high school hockey, and, you know, I'm not going to name names, maybe some past teams that I've coached. There's some players that some people would call space cadets that they're just out there in their own world. You know, maybe they should have been playing basketball. I don't know. I'm just glad that your folks allowed you to, gravitate towards hockey. So yes. You started at 3 and a half and you got involved with Columbus Ice Hockey Club. I would love to learn a little bit more about that and just, from your perspective, you know, how did you get involved? What has it meant to you a little bit as you started gaining a passion further than just being interested in you know, getting physical out there?
You know, so it was kind of per happenstance that I ended up getting with the club. My mom had actually went to high school with one of the founders of the club. So when she ended up putting out a post or whatever that I was trying to play hockey, he kind of jumped on it and was like, hey, we have a little program. It's low cost, which obviously was great for my family. So I kind of got out there. They threw me into the fire. And I mean, I loved it. I loved the group. I loved the culture. It's also really cool being an African-American, being around a whole bunch of people that look like you playing hockey. It just makes it feel a little bit more like home. So I've always gravitated towards the program. They really try to work on helping lower income families play hockey, seeing that hockey's as expensive as it is. And the culture is also just really nice and really cool. Everyone's family, everyone knows each other. Most of the guys, when they graduate, they come back and become coaches. They come back and they help in the program. So it's really just, it's a great program. I can't speak enough about it. John Hafferman, one of the founders of the program, he's honestly my hero. He's been an inspiration to me. He's been a father figure. He's been a really just a great man. And if you ask anyone in the program, they'd probably say the same thing. We want to call it the Columbus Ice Hockey Club, but we secretly call it the John Hafferman Ice Hockey Club because he's the gears behind that make everything go.
Yeah, if you've looked long and hard enough, you've probably heard of John in some capacity. He's a bit of a legend. And I'd love to hear maybe some stories of just how he's been that father figure and a great man to you, because everyone knows it takes a village to create a man, a woman, whoever it may be, just a great human being out there. So I'm curious, he's a mythical creature right now to many of these people listening. Let's make it real.
So, I mean, it starts with the little things. Like, we always used to call them the John lectures. That's more where the father figure comes in, because obviously as a kid, you do dumb stuff. You do stuff you're not supposed to do. And instead of him yelling at you or putting you in quote unquote timeout, he would sit down with you and give you a good 30 to 40 minute lecture. It would become to the point where you would go to do things and be like, is it really worth doing this? Because I know I'm going to get a 30 to 40 minute lecture about why this was a bad idea. So he's always been good at that. He knows how to use his mouthpiece either to help himself or to help others, which I think is a really good trait. Along with that, he's also given me a lot of opportunities, from little things to big things. Like, we used to do our own Columbus Ice Hockey Club Jamboree, where we would bring in other, inner city programs, but from different states. We had the Detroit Ice Dragons in, we had Snyder Hockey in, and we had our mayor in, actually. And when the mayor was in, he let me go out and do the ceremonial puck drop, which I think was kind of cool. And that was like the beginning of the thing. It's like when the Blue Jackets unveiled their third jersey, he uses connections, and I was one of the people that got to go out and unveil the jersey. So he's always tried to put me in a spotlight to be the best version of myself. And along with that, just the connections that he have got me literally where I am right now. Like, I'm working with the Blue Jackets with an internship over the summer, and I wouldn't have had that if I didn't work with Columbus Park and Rex, which he put me on with, who partnered with the Blue Jackets for a couple events and opened that door for me to get this internship. So he's more than just an icon figure. I can't even put it into words. Like, if you ask anyone from the program about John, you're going to hear nothing but good reviews from him, because he's just a genuine shirt off his back kind of person.
That's amazing. I love how he's getting you to, there's many ways to get to this point, but I just love how he's finding a way to get kids to think about, is this really a good idea? Do I want it? Like, you're starting to see the consequences. And, I feel like that's just a huge growing opportunity and maturity. Whether you're still making bad decisions or not, that's to be determined. But at least seeing like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't.
100%.
That is amazing. And I love how he's not doing it by yelling. It seems like he generally wants the best for his people. And talking with you, sometimes it sounds like he's talking at you, but I'm assuming it's more of a with, and how can we as a group do good by others ourselves and make better decisions. That sound about accurate?
100%.
Awesome. So John's a legend. You started your career out there, but you didn't stay with them forever. You continue to grow your game and finding new places to play. I wonder what that journey was like for you. What were you looking for? What did you find along the way as you were exploring, whether it be up in Cleveland, Columbus, down in Florida, and then all the way pretty much until your time where you left to go to Canada?
It had definitely been a journey. I had started playing with them. I graduated from that program and went to the AAA Blue Jackets, but I still came back and tried to skate with them when I could. I remember my sophomore year of high school, I kind of snuck away from the Jackets a little bit and played a couple games with them. That was a pretty fun time. But in leaving and going away, it was for sure a different experience, not being around as many people that look like you as well as think like you. So I did run into a couple endeavors that had to do with race. But I would say overall, my adventures have been pretty positive, and I'm extremely blessed for them because not a lot of people get to say they get to travel around the United States to play hockey. So hockey's really opened up a door for me to be able to spread light and love to everyone wherever I go, which is honestly one of the biggest things that I try to do and that I'm grateful for. I might be the guy out there that is cracking skulls and being the hardo, but at the end of the day, I just want to spread the game, grow the game, and just spread positivity. I really get that from John because he's just a genuine person.
Love that, spreading positivity. But if anyone's ever watched your game, they probably think the exact opposite of that, because it seems like you're really putting people down, being a 6'5" defenseman who was not shying away from the physical side of the game. So how do you manage that switch between like the on and off between, okay, it's time to be physical and almost harm the opponents, or at least, you know, separate the man from the puck, not the head from the body?
The biggest thing is you have to honestly find a different mode. Like when you get on the ice, one of my signature things the last couple of years is I take a big jump when I get on the ice, because that's just transferring from me being myself to getting into what I call jagoon, which in my native tongue means warrior. So it's just being able to snap out of, I wouldn't say happy mode, but from nonchalant mode to it's time to go to work mode. But at the same time in doing that, you can ask other people. I'll run some kids sometimes, but I mean, I'm there to pick up their stick after the whistle's over. I'm there to check on them and make sure they're okay. Cause at the end of the day, I'm not trying to hurt anyone. But one of the craziest things that's ever happened was when Rick Nash was out with the concussion with the Rangers, he came back and practiced with us with the AAA Blue Jackets. And I really just asked him, I was like, what's one of the biggest things that could help separate me from the competition? And I quote, his words were, "Be a motherfucker, be one of the hardest people to play against." So I've honestly taken that and ran with it, because with my frame, with my size, I know I'm intimidating, and I know that that can help me get to the next level if I just continue to work on my skills and just be a simple player.
All right. So we'll use PG words for me, but you can say it all you want. I'm not going to edit this out. But the idea of just being difficult to play against, and it's a positive thing. It's not negative. We're not trying to hurt anyone, but we're trying to be difficult to play against, which yeah, is absolutely critical. I love that idea. And it's kind of cool, like that just little physical thing that helps switch your mental capabilities from like, all right, I'm a nice, happy, spreading peace and love, to like, okay, it's time to compete. It's time to, you know, play hard defense, go and score some goals. I think that's a really cool piece. Would love to dive in a little bit further of maybe some other things you do around the game itself, where you're talking about how do you help yourself find that competitive edge or grow yourself, grow your game, et cetera, and go and take this great game a little bit more serious. One of the things I noticed that you do is journaling after every game. I'm curious where that started and what benefits you found from it.
So I'm a big Kobe Bryant guy. I'm a big David Goggins guy. I'm big on the mental aspect of the game. So in journaling, I try to journal before the game and after the game, just to put myself in the mindset to understand the things that I either want to highlight or the things I want to work on. So it's more of a reminder, because you could always just go out on the ice and do whatever. But if you go out there with a mindset and you go out there with things you want to work on and do, then you actually get them done.
So So was this Kobe Bryant who was the person journaling, or like who gave you like the idea that like, I want to pick up journaling? Cause I feel like that's not the most natural thing for a lot of people. And it can almost be a little bit cringy.
It's honestly, it was my uncle. So let me give you a little background on my family, cause I've been extremely blessed with the athletic genes. My mom ran Division I track for Mississippi State. My uncle walked on and played Division I basketball at the University of Cincinnati. I got a couple cousins in the NFL. I have, my grandpa, he would have qualified for the Olympics for pole vault, but his appendix burst. So it's always been a thing of knowing that I'm athletic, but knowing that I might not be the most gifted skill-wise. So how am I going to compensate with that with my mind? So my uncle being, I think he's 5'7" and playing D1 ball, his biggest thing was, how am I going to be able to compensate for my size and still be effective and still be a good player? So it was 2 years ago, he told me to pick up journaling. So I've honestly been trying to pick it up ever since. I picked up a normal journal that I use every day just to track my mood, track the things that I do to keep myself accountable, as well as a manifestation journal for the goals that I want to complete. And then finally, I have my ice hockey journal where I write down the 3 or 4 things that I want to focus on before the game. And then I reflect after the game on how well I did at them and what I could improve on.
All right. Love this. What would be like an example of an item or two that you would want to key into each game? And then how do you like to go about saying how it went? Do you kind of let it go free form? Do you have something structured? And, you know, how do you choose what are those items that you want to work on?
It kind of depends on the day sometimes. So I try to go out for drop-ins and stick and pucks a couple times a week and work on some skills. And then I try to transfer that into the game the next week. So if I'm working on my edges 1 week, I'll be writing in my journal like cutbacks or different things like hand placement or body position. Just so I'll give you an example of how I would structure my journal. So I give myself 3 different parts of the game I want to work on and 2 different things in that. So with it being beer league, there's not a whole lot of communication just because they're out having fun, but I always try to emphasize overlooking and over talking just to try to simplify the game for myself and others. So that would probably be one of the top things that I put on there. Then underneath that, I'd put my confidence as well as it'd be more skill based. So it'd be my confidence in moves that I've practiced, as well as what my poise is looking like on the day. Where do I want the poise? Do I want the poise in the corner? Do I want to try to use my poise looking up ice and drawing forwards away from where I want to pass? Do I want to try to look off goalies? So it'd be more poise. And the last one would be more just on the footwork, the cardio, and the edges. So it'd be little things like stay low, because as a big man, my center of gravity is a little higher. So it's little things like continue to stay low, keep the feet moving, because when I cut back, sometimes my feet aren't moving. So it's little things that I can remind myself to do before the game. And then right before I get on the ice, I always run through what I put in my journal before the game just to try to highlight it and work on it during the game.
Love that. Crazy things that we do around the game. Like I used to play Call of Duty before all of my like college games, for example, like trying to quicken my mind up. Like you got to be really fast if you're playing live online. Like that was something crazy I did. I think yours is probably a little bit more productive overall than my own, but you know, all these like little outside of like showing up, doing normal warmups, that you can kind of try to gain an advantage and, you know, speed up a mind, speed up an emphasis on finding how do we insert poise into our game. Cause I mean, that's such a wide ranging topic, like shrinking it down. How is it in the corners or whatever that situation is? I love hearing that. That's really cool.
Yes, sir.
So another thing, sorry, you go.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, I credit my uncle for that a lot. Cause he never played hockey. He never knew a lot about hockey, but we sat down. He was like, what are the biggest things you need to work on? What are the things that the pros do really well? Like he really made me become a student of the game rather than just an ice hockey player.
So how do you think it's been for you being a student of the game, and how has that affected you as a player, but also a person? Cause I feel like a lot of people just love playing the game and not everyone wants to be a student of the game. And it's definitely a different approach.
100%. It helps you highlight the little things, because that's the difference when you get up in the levels. Like, you can watch hockey and be like, oh, okay, that was a sick player, like, oh, this guy is nasty. But it's like, what makes him good? What are the little things? What are the intangibles that he does to make him different from other people? And then you have to take those things and try to implement them in your game. For example, I know that I'm more of a simple player, so I watch other simple players around the league. One of my favorite guys to watch when he played for Columbus, obviously, was Seth Jones. He's got a little bit of flair to his game, but he's been a pretty simple player. I fall towards those defensemen in the league that you know their names, but you don't really notice them. Like, they'll never be on the highlight reels. Like, David Savard was a great one when he played here. Peak right now playing for the Jackets. Just players like that can solidify their role by being good at their role, being simple, and just outworking other people.
Sounds like Jonas Brodin up there in Minnesota. Like, he's been in the league forever, and I feel like no one actually knows who he is unless you follow that team. Like, it's just, he's slowly but surely made himself a multimillionaire just by being simple, good, hard to play against. Love that.
Yes, sir.
So another area that I've keyed in on that I think you're probably into more than most is just like fitness in general. Like, one, making sure you're doing warmups, whether it's an adult league game or anything else, cold showers. I mean, like, how has that played? How has that evolved? You know, how is that, like, overall, the overarching here thing we're talking about is like, okay, you've talked about your mental approach. I'm now curious to go about like that physical approach, where we're talking about preparation, we're talking about recovery, all of that. And how has that evolved over time? When did you get into it? How have you changed maybe your routine here in the later years?
It's always been a thing of trying to have a pro mindset, because that's the difference. That's really what takes you further in hockey. And it's always been the other inspirational people that I listen to, like David Goggins, Wim Hof, Kobe Bryant. It's always little things about the mentality. Like, everyone talks about, oh, you take cold showers, that sucks. And I'm like, yeah, it sucks, but to get yourself in there to do it feels great when you're done. It's the little things of pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone when there's not a whole lot you can gain from it other than the discipline of being able to do it. Like, I wake up 4 days out of the week and I run 5 miles, and that's sure good for my cardio and good for my endurance, but as well, I don't want to run 5 miles, but I know it's good for me. So it's really pushing yourself to do things that you don't want to do. And in doing that long enough, you build up the tolerance as well as the structure to continue to do it. Because when you don't do it, you don't feel that great about yourself. It's one of the things where the more you challenge yourself and the more that you can excel at those challenges, the further you want to go. But it's a slippery slope, because as soon as you stop, you really don't ever want to go back to doing what you're doing. So it really helps you hold yourself accountable.
And it also sounds a little bit, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that like, it's building up your confidence in your physical capabilities as well. Like, I can do hard and difficult things and push beyond where I currently am, and just elevate your physical capabilities.
100%. It helps you as yourself with your confidence, but as well, this might sound a little arrogant, but it's one of those things where you know a whole bunch of other people aren't doing it, so it just makes you feel even that much better about yourself. Like, oh, he's not putting in the work that I'm putting in. Sure, he might be better than me now, but if I continue to do the things that I'm doing, there's no way in a year or a year and a half he's going to be where I am if I'm putting in that much more work than him. So it keeps you grinding, it keeps you hungry, it keeps you from being complacent.
So there's someone that I'm thinking of right now that you played with who has some interesting routines that's been documented as a rookie for the Buffalo Sabres, Devon Levi or Levy. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but you know, I love how he's just like meditating on the ice between commercial breaks as they're like doing the snow and stuff. I'm curious, you know, what did you observe from him? Cause he's clearly an unreal player. I don't know about you, but I'm always trying to steal what are the guys doing that are pretty awesome and pretty cool.
Yes, sir. He's just been pro. Like, he was my rookie playing juniors, and I learned more from him than he learned from me, I think. It's a little obsessive because he's a goalie, and obviously they're weird, but he was always in the zone. He actually put me on the book, The Champion's Mindset, where I gained a couple little things, but he had some funny superstitions and some funny things that he did. So during road games, he'd get to the rink maybe an hour and a half before the bus was going to depart. He'd throw on his Under Armour gear. He'd be throwing racket balls against the wall. He wouldn't go shower, which I thought was funny. He'd just go throw his dress clothes over his warm-up stuff, get on the bus, listen to his music. And as soon as he got to the rink, if he was playing, you were not going to hear another word from him. He would just get in the zone. He would do what he needed to do. But at the same time, he's an NHL hockey player now. So obviously it worked out. I've taken a couple of things that he's done, some of the stretching, some of the other things like that, but he's on another level. He's on a level that I really want to get to.
All right. So the Champion's Mindset, what was the conversation or the takeaways from the Champion's Mindset?
The Champion's Mindset was about all of the Olympic athletes that went through crazy trials and tribulations before winning. So some of the craziest ones were, there was a track runner and he pulled his hamstring. I think it was 4 months before he had to go to the Olympics. So he did not train almost whatsoever until I think it was a month before, but every day he would go home and he would visualize himself running. He would visualize himself crossing the finish line first. Like, he would visualize to actualize, and he ended up winning a gold medal. So it's little things like that. I stole from that every night before I go to bed, I try to quiet my mind. I don't watch TV anymore. I try to go to sleep visualizing myself either signing that NHL deal some days, or making those good breakout passes some days, or even throwing on the Blue Jackets jersey and hopping out on the ice for warmups. So it's really visualizing and manifesting things into reality. And I'm a big manifestation guy. I'm a pretty big spiritual head, which pushes some people away from me. But I feel like you really can control everything in your life. And the more you put yourself into the shoes of where you want to be, the quicker you're going to get to where you want to be. One of the coolest quotes that I heard from Kobe was, I dropped 80 points in the game, but I thought I was going to score 150. Because when he was younger and he would go to bed, he said that he would just visualize himself shooting and scoring in the NBA, and he'd go to sleep scoring 150 sometimes because it's his dream and he didn't want to miss. So it's really knowing where you want to go and honestly just going for it. Like, your dreams or your desires if you put everything into it.
That's really cool. It kind of reminds me of the idea of like dress for where you want to be, not where you're currently at. Like the idea of dress like the CEO, which is, you know, a terrible example nowadays, because like CEOs are usually in jeans, or if you look at Mark Zuckerberg, I mean, that guy hasn't worn a tie in years.
Exactly.
So, but I love that idea of just the visualization and seeing it before. Something I used to do before I became a terrible adult league player. So I love to visualize as a centerman, like, what are some of the reads I'm going to see on the breakout every single night? You know, where are spots that I commonly find myself around the rink? You know, what are my looks? What are my reads that I'm going to be going through? So it's like a quick progression of just like a quarterback in football, of like 1, 2, 3, what's open, what's quick, what's best, and just speed up the progression of how you read the game. So I'm actually loving that. And just the idea of manifesting things rather than just letting the world kind of take you and just drift where you go. Some people have that drive and purpose. Some people don't, but if you have some capability and an idea of what you want to do, and it could be you want to be a better hockey player, or you just want to be a better person for your family, or a better employee, you know, all those things add up and go far. I absolutely love that. Beautiful stuff here.
Thank you very much.
I'm curious, another name that stuck out to me as I was doing some background on this was Alex Barber. Because he never seemed like he was a really great scorer, but then as he grew older, where he was on the scoring chart just seemed to inch up slowly but surely, and then he finally hit that breakout. I don't know that much about him. I'm assuming you would have a much better idea being around Columbus, being a teammate with him a little bit. I would love to hear your thoughts and, you know, share some stories with him.
Alex is a good guy. He's always been a leader as well. He's been my captain for the 5-6 years that I played for the AAA Blue Jackets, and he wore the letter with pride. He wasn't one of those captains that was just the captain because he was popular. He was the captain because he did work hard. He was pro, he was a leader. And he held himself together very well. So it really didn't surprise me that as he went up into the ranks and ended up going to BG, he ended up being an assistant captain, then ended up being the captain there, because he's always just had the personality of a leader. So he's a good player. Me and him never really butted heads, but we were always super competitive with each other just because we both knew that we were good and we both wanted to get the best out of each other. So, I mean, playing in the CC or the Cap City Elite League, he's supposed to be on my team. He wasn't there week one, but I was really looking forward to seeing him because I haven't really seen him in 6 months to a year. I just wanted to catch up a little bit and see what he was up to.
I love that. You didn't butt heads, but you competed hard against each other. It's the whole idea of iron sharpens iron. Like, you're doing a disservice to yourself and your teammates. It's not just yourself, it's your teammates as well, if you're not going hard in practice.
Yes, sir. That's one of the biggest things that Adrian helped me with as well, was our practices were a lot harder than our games. Like, we lost in the national championship this year, but the year before when we won, we went undefeated. And I'm not joking, this doesn't sound good, but there were like 3 or 4 different times where boys got hurt in practice, and that's never a good thing. But we're going so hard against each other, we know that it's as competitive as it is, that when we would get into games, I wouldn't say we would be on autopilot mode, but it would be an easier game than it should be, just because in practice we were going as hard as we were.
So games almost seemed easy comparable to practice.
100%.
All right. So you've won a national title. Like, what is it that leads to a national championship type culture and team? Obviously you have to have great players, but there's a lot more than just having that. We've seen even this year, Boston Bruins, best regular season NHL history, losing the first round. So I'm curious from your side, inside the locker room, what that looks like.
It's really a mentality thing. Like, there's some times where you know that you're just going to win. Like, the year that we won the national championship, we went undefeated. Our captain was probably the best captain. Well, he was the best captain I've ever played with. I want to put him up there on a pedestal with one of the best captains in the world. And sure, that sounds cliche, but when you can get 26 guys on the same page every day to go out and play, that's really what it takes. One of the biggest things was we did a Navy SEALs training before our season. And it was rigorous. It was crazy. I wasn't an outdoorsman before, but by the end, I honestly felt like I could do anything. It was really empowering. It was extremely tough. And from there, we really, our saying was locked arms, because at the end we locked arms. We saw what we had been through, and we knew that we could have done it all for no reason, or we could have done it all to get closer to win a national championship.
So locked arms, if you wouldn't mind explaining that, I'm a little confused on what that exactly means, how that saying came to be the thing.
It's really just locking arms with all the boys, like knowing that we're all going into this together. It's not having those one or two guys on the team that don't like each other and don't play well together or don't talk to each other. It's understanding that we've all came together for a collective goal, and you don't want to be the person that takes away from the collective goal. So I want to say the big thing comparing last year to this year was we still had the whole locked arms tradition, but it just wasn't, it didn't seem the same. There were a couple guys that were a little selfish. They didn't really buy in as much as I think they should have. But again, I'm the guy that's eating pucks with my face. I'm the guy that's out there doing it all. So it's really just seeing that you'll do anything for that guy across the room from you, that guy that you're locked arms with, in order to succeed for the common goal of the team.
All right. So I think I'm following you now. Kind of like locked arms, you're all in the surf zone, just getting hammered by the surf, and you just got to persevere, and we're all in this together.
Honestly, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Obviously, you've been around a lot of great men, a lot of great leaders. I'm just curious, from your own perspective, you've had all this that you've taken in. You know, what are some pieces of advice you can for that up and coming player that's a few years behind you? And I want to break this into two pieces. You know, what's some off ice advice and what's some on ice advice?
I'll start with on ice advice just because I've taken this and I've ran with it. It's, you can be good at what you're doing now, but as you go up in levels, the game gets that much harder. You need to be the best at what you do. You need to find what you're extremely good at and be the best at it. When I was in juniors, my coach had a quote. It was, manage your weaknesses, excel at your strengths. So it was still work on the things that you're not the best at, but know what you're good at and be the absolute best at it, because that's how you're going to find yourself in a lineup spot. That's how you're going to find yourself where you need to be playing on the teams that you want to be in. No one wants to be that third or fourth liner, but you look at those third or fourth liners in the league, they could play first line in the AHL, but they understand, hey, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to be the best at it so no one can take my position. And then that kind of goes hand in hand with the off-ice component, because I love to work. That's one of the things that everyone says, and they don't, I guess, per se understand it from me, but I love to work. I don't like to be outworked. I think that's part of my ego, but I want to be the best at everything that I do. So I would say work as hard as you can. When you think that you've worked hard enough, you could always go a little further than you have. And that's one of the biggest things in like the last two or three years that I've understood, because I used to love, or I still love running. I love working out, but it's like, sure, I can be physically fit doing that, but I've turned that into on ice work as well, which I think I lacked that. So it's skill work. It's the little things like Kobe says, it's waking up early and getting those two extra sessions in that no one else is getting in. I have this summer religiously woke up at 6 a.m., either got a run in or got a long run in or got a short run in and ran to where I go and shoot and stick handle in the mornings. And I'd shoot and stick handle for a good hour to hour, 15 minutes, the other 4 days or 3 days out of the week that I'm not running. And that's that one extra hour that no one else is putting in. And that's before I go do my job. And then I come back and I stick handle after my job. And then hopefully I either go to a drop in or I play in an adult league game. So it's really about putting in the extra effort and putting in the reps that other people aren't putting in. That's the only way that if you're behind, you're going to catch up and you're going to excel. Most people get comfortable in the position that they're in, but if you're never comfortable, you always have room to improve.
All right. Never be comfortable, and we're going to work when no one is working and watching.
Exactly. That Mamba mentality, man.
All right. So how do you balance that as well? Like, we want to work hard, but we also realize, like, physically, right? Like, when you hit that last rep, we're tearing our muscles and they need to recover. So I'm assuming hard work also means working hard on recovery, making sure we're getting the rest period. We're not doing everything where we're just running ourselves into the ground.
I would say it goes both ways, because you need to recover, but you only need to recover to a certain extent, which sounds crazy, but it's really how bad you want it. You never obviously want to hurt yourself, but if you put as much time as you put in the gym or running and stick handling as you do in stretching, mobility, stability, other things like that, you realize you don't really get as tired as you think you can. There was a point in time in the year where I was not where I wanted to be on the depth chart, And me and another kid that really didn't play at all during the year went and decided to do 75 hard. And I think that that literally has changed my life. If you don't know what 75 hard is, it's obviously no alcohol. You have two workouts a day. One has to be outside. They're both 45 minutes. You have to drink a gallon of water a day. You have to meditate for at least 10 to 15 minutes a day. And you have to take a cold shower. So it's the little things of understanding, okay, I have to work out every day and I know I'm going to be tired. How am I going to recover my body to understand that I don't want to hurt myself? So it's finding the balance, but understanding, again, you can find the balance, but you can always go a little further. If I'm running 5 miles in a day and I'm shooting 300, 400 pucks, and then I'm skating after that, I'm going home and I'm doing my hip recovery. I'm throwing on the Normatex. I'm using my massage gun. I'm doing the things that I need to do. And people mostly get tired and they think that sleep and sitting on the couch is recovery, but it's really not. It's going about it in a different way and recovering your muscles more than likely actively so you can continue to do what you need to do.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to do 75 hard at this stage of my life, but if I was competing, I'm going to say everyone should do it.
It was definitely life-changing and it was different. I also ran into a guy named Wim Hof on YouTube.
The Iceman.
Iceman. That's really been my man. And I think that ice baths have really helped with my recovery as well. I know that some people do them at the end of the day, but I would wake up every morning and I'd hop in that thing for 4 minutes and it sucked, but I'd feel great when I came out both mentally and physically. And I feel like that definitely helped my body with recovery as well.
Beautiful. All right. I got two last questions for you. Number one, how have you evolved and changed your games over the years? Like, you're clearly an active defenseman. Like, that could be an evolution where you went from inactivity to joining the rush on everything, or just how you think through the game. Just quick hit here.
So when I started playing for the AAA Blue Jackets, they actually had me on forward. I tried out for D, but I was one of the faster players. So they put me on forward. I was that third line, fourth line guy, eating pucks, chipping pucks in, forechecking, doing that kind of stuff. Then I think that it was one of the best things for me. I got cut from the AAA Blue Jackets, and that's when I got to hop back and play defense. So I had learned a couple of things playing forward, but knowing that I was truly a defenseman, I got really good at the stay-at-home, the defensive game, and then I've slowly progressed to being able to add the offense in there. Because one of the biggest things is you can't teach size. So me being as big as I am, knowing that you're not going to get around me, now I need to be mobile enough to get around you. So kind of understanding what my strengths are, being the defensive player, but understanding as well, there's the 5'9", 5'10 guys that are extremely slippery, that can get in the plays, that are great at the blue line, and knowing that I'm bigger than them, and if it comes down to it and we both have the same skill, they're probably going to take the bigger guy. So it's reading around you, understanding where you're needed and what you can do to help yourself and help your team be successful. And then what was the second part of the question?
Just how you've evolved your game over the years. Like how have you tried to get yourself to be better, which clearly adding elements. I loved how you talked about like actually playing a different position was critical. Like, for example, like Rasmus Dahlin was not a full-time defenseman until his draft year. And now he's one of the best five defensemen in the world. Like, there's so many great elements that you can have by switching positions for even a year. Like, it doesn't have to be just for a game. Like, you do it for a good period of time. And all of the elements are one of my favorite players, who's a respective player right now for the New Jersey Devils, Seamus Casey. Like, okay, that guy literally could play forward, and he did against like the U.S. National Development Program, and he put up like 2 goals. Like, the versatility and the skill sets that you can learn from playing a bunch of different stuff is so critical. I can't say it enough. Like, play different positions, play different sports, get involved. So if there's anything else you want to add, otherwise I'll go on to my last question here.
No, I think that's it.
All right. Last question here. What are you doing for the Blue Jackets these days, and how can we help you reach your goals? How can we help you manifest what you want in the world?
I'm currently working with them as an intern doing community development and youth hockey, which is it's kind of cool because I'd been doing it since I was 14 or 15 with the Columbus Ice Hockey Club and the Columbus Park and Rec Department. But going to the bigger name, the biggest brand with the Columbus Blue Jackets has really helped me learn more things other than just how to interact with the kids, but all the behind the scenes little things with just getting waivers ready, getting grad certificates ready, getting all the little things that make or break the kids' experience. Like, sure, it's fun playing, but afterwards you get that hot card, I guess, which is the lingo that gets you a free ticket to a game. You get that certificate that's signed by Zach Werenski saying, hey, you're certified past, get out and learn. You're going to go to your next step. Like, the little things and the way that it, you can see the kids' faces light up. Cause I feel like that's one of the biggest things, is just impacting the youth. But going from there, I mean, I'd love help from everybody. I love the support, but I mean, it really comes down to me and putting myself out there. I hope, since I'm in the front office, I get to slide in and maybe talk to some of the hockey ops guys like Nash, like Yarmo, like Derek Dorsett. I got to talk to Shelly a couple of times. So it's really just putting myself out there, one, as a player, but two, again, as a student of the game, to see what these guys are looking for. Like, I feel like I have the in to not just be like, hey, put me into dev camp, but okay, I know what they're looking for in these players. So in having a great senior season this year, and God willing, either signing somewhere or going to take a fifth year, like, I know what I need to improve on. I know what these guys are doing in order to get myself on the map to eventually put on that jersey. Like, being from Columbus, having the impact that I have, there's nothing that I would love more than playing for the Blue Jackets or playing in that organization, just because it's home. It's family. I've done so much. Like, I just feel like I got to do it for, one, the Columbus Ice Hockey Club and the little Black kids that don't think that they can play hockey, but for the community as well. Just all the kids that know me by name, all the kids that see me with my custom skates at the Cap City League that are like, oh my goodness, that's so cool, you're changing the game. Like, I don't just want to be the face. I want to show people that it's actually possible. Like, coming from a small program like the Columbus Ice Hockey Club to even winning a national championship is extremely humbling, just because I hate to bring this up, but there's been a couple kids that have lost their lives from this program just to gun violence and to the streets. And it's like, I just want to show people that you don't have to play football. You don't have to play basketball. Like, you can go get outside of your comfort zone, and as well as grow yourself, grow the game.
Grow yourself, grow the game. I think those are two great pieces to end on. Thank you so much for coming on. Please send me all of your contacts and I will put them in the show notes for everyone to follow along. And if anyone's running a team in Europe or in the United States professionally, let's get in touch and let's find you a wonderful human and player.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks so much.
I will end with peace, love, and all the power, because I'm sending that. I really am. I love everyone. I'm grateful and I'm thankful for anyone that did tune into this podcast. I'm grateful for you having me on, and just thank you, man.
Absolutely. Just keep making me look good in a doll league. We'll
yes, sir. We'll do.
That concludes this week's episode. Thanks for joining us here at Hockey IQ. If you haven't already, take a quick moment to hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, and drop a review. If you want to be a great teammate, even recommend us to a friend. You can follow us at Hockey's Arsenal on Twitter and Instagram. Check out the website, hockeysarsenal.com, where you can subscribe to the weekly newsletter. You won't regret it. Catch you beauts here next week for a brand new episode.